our large urbans and our suburban libraries, while they might be bigger and they might have more staff, there's always nuggets of information that you can take and scale to things that you're doing at your library. And we're nimble in small and rural libraries in a way that maybe even some of the larger libraries don't recognize and see that we can turn on a dime.
Welcome to FYI, the Public Libraries Podcast. I'm Kathleen Hughes with the Public Library Association. Today we're tackling a topic close to the hearts of many public librarians, navigating the Public Library Association Conference. But we're taking a unique angle, focusing on the perspective of attendees from small and rural libraries. Joining us today is Jenny Garner, Library Director at the North Liberty, Iowa Public Library and immediate past president of the Association for Small and Rural Libraries. Welcome, Jenny. Do you want to tell our listeners a little about yourself and share your experience with attending library conferences, particularly the PLA conference?
I have been in libraries for 27 years plus, and I am the past president for the Association for Rural and Small Libraries and have been active at that conference for the last 15 or so years, at our Iowa Library Conference, Association Conference for 20 plus years, and have been to PLA consecutively the last three conferences and before that, intermittently when we had the budget for me to go.
As someone from a small / rural library, what advice do you have for navigating and making the most of the PLA conference?
I would say number one is just being prepared. So review your schedule ahead of time. Plan to attend that host city reception because it's fantastic if you can get there early enough to attend. That's a great relaxed atmosphere, just a good way to get yourself started in the conference. As with going to any new place, your professional conference is going to look the same. They function similarly, just on different scales. So rather than feeling overwhelmed, just plan ahead, I would say is the number one thing. And I am going to be a big proponent for the PLA Attendee Hub. The website is fantastic, as is the mobile app. Make sure that you have that mobile app if you can do that on your phone. It's fantastic. And it really, for me, it's like my scheduling assistant. I put my stuff in there and then it reminds me. I might even put two or three sessions from the same time block in, knowing that I can't obviously attend all three, but then I have that option. If it's your first PLA conference, look at those frequently asked questions. Those are going to answer a lot of what you have. And if you don't see the answer for what you're looking for, reach out to your conference planners and PLA office, but do that in advance. Don't wait until the last minute because they're busy and they might not have time to answer you. They're getting ready for conference, so give them a little bit of space to give those answers to you.
For those who might have attended the Association of Rural and Small Libraries conference and are now going to PLA, can you talk a little bit about the differences, what they can expect?
The first difference is that PLA might be about the size of your community or even bigger than your community that you come from. So remember that. You're talking thousands of attendees, so you can expect a much bigger venue. The conference centers are typically way bigger than what we see at ARSL. So be ready to do some walking or plan for your needs if you have mobility issues ahead of time. Make sure you bring your own water bottle and things like that so that you're prepared, and a bag to put stuff in. You're going to want to have a backpack or something. And then note that the conference hall itself might be pretty big, so you might take a bit to get from one end to the other in different locations.
We always recommend people, if they can, come in a little bit early, look around the street your hotel's on, see where the nearest convenience store is, check out some restaurants and coffee shops that you might be interested in. Generally, get the lay of the land is kind of what we recommend to people. Given the vast array of topics at a PLA conference, do you have any advice for how people can maximize their time and prioritize sessions that will best apply to them?
Think ahead about the things that you're specifically interested in learning more about, your needs, your current needs at the library, or things that you're looking at to do in the future. And use that website because the program there allows you to keyword search. So take a look and see what's available when, and there may be multiple sessions on topics of interest. So kind of use that to align with what you want to accomplish while you're there. There are so many options. If you have other folks that you know who are going, you can kind of divide and conquer. If someone from your own library or a neighboring library is going, so if you can go to a session while someone else goes to another one and then share back. And then take note of your room assignments ahead of time so that you can plan your sessions accordingly. You have time to trek from one side to the other between sessions, but you'll also want to note where they are. And again, that's a good reason to get that lay of the land in advance if you can.
One bit of feedback that we often get from our smaller library members is that the ideas presented at PLA conference are too big. They don't translate well to small and or rural libraries. Do you have any advice for how somebody could look at an idea being presented and translate it?
You know, I might just have rosy glasses, but I think that we can all relate to each other in many ways. Our bigger counterparts, our large urbans and our suburban libraries, while they might be bigger and they might have more staff, there's always nuggets of information that you can take and scale to things that you're doing. I'll give you an example. Way back in the day, before I was the director here, I had all these ideals of wanting to have a business library in our small library when it was even in its tiniest rendition. And I went to a session that was from New York Public Library, and I was overwhelmed by their staff and the number of things they were doing and the awesome things. But what I realized afterward is there was information there that I could glean and take back and use. Even if I don't have a full-time staff person dedicated to business, I can still take information from what they offered and find ways to provide services to businesses in our community. So it's really about scaling that service or program to what works at your library. And we're nimble in small and rural libraries in a way that maybe even some of the larger libraries don't recognize and see that we can turn on a dime. So I always think it's just about looking at the positive side of it and also reach out to those folks. Go up and introduce yourself. Give them a business card. Ask for theirs. Reach out afterward. Ask them if you can, you know, reach out for more information later or if they'd share their resources that they've created.
I always think there's a kernel of an idea being presented that this library had the funds to do this way, but you can take that kernel of the idea and do it your way at your library.
Yes.
Next, I wanted to talk a little bit about networking. What tips do you have for attendees from smaller libraries to connect with others?
Look for conference buddies. So before you go, reach out. There's a high likelihood that someone you know from the Association for Rural and Small Libraries or someone you know from your state association is going to be at conference. So if you can exchange phone numbers, if you don't have their number, and ask them to maybe meet for coffee or lunch so that you have a face that you recognize there. And also just don't be shy about introducing yourself to folks. We're librarians for a reason. We like service and we're willing to answer questions and provide information. We do it every day. So don't expect that someone's not willing to help you as well. And don't forget your business cards. Bring them with you. If you don't have any, get some business cards so that you can give them out and ask other people for theirs as well. I have met people at conferences that I still have virtual connections with that I meet with fairly regularly, actually. Remember that if they're in a location where you might go visit them someday, stop in and see them at their library if you're on vacation somewhere or traveling for work.
Jenny has kindly written an article for us that you can find on Public Libraries Online, where she has selected programs she feels will be beneficial to attendees from small/rural libraries. Do you want to talk a little bit about a few of those programs you recommended?
First of all, there is one that's from a rural library that I think everybody should note, which is called Transforming Community, a Rural Library Story. And it's just talking about the impact on their community that their library makes. And whether you are already sitting with that and thinking, oh, yeah, we're already doing these cool things, I think, again, there's always those nuggets of information you can glean. And it talks about encouragement to elevate your library's role in your community. And that can just be affirming if, you know, going to those things and finding out what you have in common and what ideas you can take away. Also, there's some great censorship ones. There's a couple different ones. There's Pivoting to Meet a New Censorship Tactics, which is talking about library adverse legislation and challenges to book materials. That one's on April 5th. I think that's going to be a fantastic program. There's another one, Choose Your Own Adventure on Intellectual Freedom, that same day, actually just following that first one on April 5th. So you could soak in all those intellectual freedom things. There is lots of things on belonging and EDI work out there. The one that I saw that I really liked was Path to Belonging, Creating EDISJ in Small and Rural Libraries. I think that's going to be a fantastic program. Talking about creating a path of belonging in your community. That's something that's near and dear to my heart. If you know me from ARSL, you know that I've been talking about doing those things in our library, creating a space where folks can belong all the time. There's a great program on food justice in libraries on the 5th. Programming holistically, social and emotional learning in library programs, I think sounded fantastic. And then there's one on just a toolkit for customer service. As much as I like to think that our library provides absolutely exceptional customer service, I think we can always learn new ideas on customer service and ways that we can focus on our communities. Another really good one that I thought sounded really good was just how to say hard things, lessons learned in years of crisis, communicating and saying things, empowering your staff and yourself to communicate and have those those difficult conversations. I think we can all use that all the time. Nobody wants to have conflict, but it's super important that we are ready for it. There's one on trans staff and patrons. I just really think we can glean a lot from the information and those things. We all know people in our community who we want to serve, and we want to serve them all in the way that is most respectful and provides the best dignity for them. So I think that program is fantastic. There are many more. You can check that out on the PL online as well as in the show daily.
And one thing I'll call out, there's going to be in the Career Center in the Exhibits Hall on Thursday. You can sign up for one-on-one consultation appointments with ALA's Office for Intellectual Freedom. And there'll be consultants available for confidential support and guidance in responding to materials and service challenges. Advanced sign-up is required, and that's on the placonference.org website.
I'd say in prepping too, just make sure that if you note that if you need to sign up or register in advance, there's a lot of great options, both things that you can purchase extra and for free. So just make sure that you sign up in advance if you want to go to some of those things so you don't miss out.
And then there's also a how-to stage in the exhibit hall that offers programming all day, and it's 20-minute session. So little bursts of learning.
I went to several of those last time.
So next question, limited resources are often a concern for smaller libraries. How can attendees identify and make the most of resources offered at the conference, such as exhibitors or available materials?
I would first just make sure you check out the list of exhibitors. It's huge. The exhibit hall is big. You get ample time to go through the exhibit hall during the conference. They provide many opportunities. There may be exhibitors that you want to visit that you know already, so check them out, and you can even make appointments to have coffee or visit them in their booth. And then check out what else there is, because there's all sorts of exhibitors there who have loads and loads of things to give away. That's why I said bring your bags and be ready. I know personally friends who've brought an entire empty suitcase to fill and paid for the checked bag because it's worth it. You'll find all sorts of treasures, including books and other materials that you can bring home. And also you'll have options to mail things back to yourself at a fraction of the cost if you were to purchase all the items. So take advantage of those giveaways and the things in there. Plus, if you need a candy pickup, a lot of them have candy
right.
for you.
And there's always coffee breaks in the exhibit hall too.
Yes.
If you find yourself in need of a refreshment. So look at the schedule to see when the coffee breaks are. And there's refreshments also during the exhibit's opening reception and the closing. So attending a conference is one thing, but implementing takeaways is another. How can attendees effectively apply what they've learned once they return to their library?
So identify those things that are sort of low-hanging fruit. These are things that I can go back and implement right away, because if you can take even one or two things and apply them immediately, it's going to make you feel more energized to follow through with the other things that you have on the list. And then take a little bit of time when you get back to kind of look at what you've learned and what you really think would apply to your library and what you want to do. And how can you then create some goals and a timeline for doing some of those things, or talking with staff to make sure that you are kind of accountable for following through?
Do you think the thought that exists that a lot of PLA programming is out of reach for smaller libraries is something to take into account when you're bringing back these ideas?
If you go in with an attitude that I can do these things at my library too, when I look at PLA or when I talk to my friends that I've met from larger libraries, we're already doing this stuff. We're doing many, many of the things that are being presented at PLA, and we've been doing them for a long time. So you look at yourself as an expert, you know that you are one, and take it for what it's worth. I mean, if you automatically go in thinking, well, I can't do this, it's too big, then of course you're not going to follow through. Rather, look at it as here's an opportunity for me to do something cool and maybe innovative in my library, and knowing that you're already doing innovation in your library. We are innovative in small and rural libraries, and in ways that I've even had some of my friends in urban libraries say, you guys are much more nimble than us. We don't have the red tape, and we have the ability to know our patrons and our neighbors in a way that maybe they don't always. There are lots of commonalities.
Do you have any final tips or insights you wanted to share?
I would say go in with a positive attitude and ready to learn and enjoy and find yourself affirmed, because I think that's the biggest thing about conference for me anyway, is to feel this affirmation of the good work that we do all together. And if you haven't been involved in planning an event of this magnitude, please take that into account. The folks working behind the scenes to make this happen are both the PLA staff and the volunteers doing this work are doing it with heartfelt energy. energy to bring us the best conference experience. So please give them grace. And if you see them, thank them for their work. So imagine Aerosol, if you've been to an Aerosol conference, and multiply it times 6 or 7, or your own city times 6 or 7, and you'll get what your experience is. But the experience is ultimately in your hands. So research the city. PLA does a great job of offering links to the visitor information on the page. And if you get a chance to build in a couple of days to relax and enjoy the city, these cities are fantastic. There's beautiful amenities and things to explore. So take advantage and take in some of the attractions while you're there too.
And especially for Columbus, the convention center is pretty conveniently located in the midst of a kind of bustling shopping, dining, entertainment area.
Yeah, Columbus is a great city with lots of art, public art, and things to see. It's very walkable.
Thank you very much, Jenny. That was a lot of great information. I think it will help a lot of people.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing everyone at conference.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you at conference too. That was Jenny Garner, Library Director at the North Liberty, Iowa Public Library, sharing tips for navigating the PLA 2024 conference. For more great FYI podcasts, visit publiclibrariesonline.org. Thanks for listening.